Blog Talk Radio. Awesome song. Good evening, everybody. Good evening. This is Guanarama, and I'm just listening to, I was listening to my dogs going crazy, and I was telling Mr. Man, they have to get out of here because we want to listen to Tracy Walton. Definitely. This song, Brand New Again. Brand New Again. She's going to be brand new again. You heard the lyrics there. And I'm thinking about myself today. I wish I was, Mr. Man, I need a new body. I wish I was totally new again. I have been picking up one of our pups all day long because her legs are not feeling well. And I've got this backache. So I wish I was brand new again. But let me tell you about Tracy Walton. This guy, I hear that, Mr. Man, here we go. He is not afraid of reinventing himself, talking about getting, you know, a new look or a new, we're going to find out what is new about this guy. I just recently listened to his music for the first time, and I posted the other day on one of my pages, "Where have you been all my life?" I know I got some comments like, "He's been in school," somebody said. I think he was a teacher. We're going to find out a little bit more about him and about his music. This is a new CD, brand new again, and the song, the title the same. Wait till you hear the rest of the stuff. I was playing it this weekend while my brother was here. It was his birthday. Actually, his birthday is today. Happy birthday, brother Phil. But he was here yesterday, and he was really, he's a trucker. He's a truck driver, my brother. And he was just enjoying the music. So I think that you guys are going to love it, too. I'm going to let him right in, and we're going to talk more about, well, everything about his life. I'm like totally new with. I don't know a whole lot about Tracy, but I know he's gonna let us know all about him, his life and his career and his music and where he's going, because he's got a lot of plans and interesting things going on in the near future, and we want to hear about it. Good evening, Tracy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Thank you for accepting the invitation and for sending all your music and everything. It is such a joy to hear, music. What is the world without music? It's just I can't even imagine what that would be like. Let me start by asking you, especially because I'm a listener, but you are a player and a singer. What would the world be without music for you? What would that be like?
I wouldn't have a job. So that wouldn't be good, I guess. I'd have to do something much less desirable, probably. For me, it's always been like a huge part of my life, I guess. It's kind of, I guess it's a little cliche, but it's the soundtrack of everything. You know, that's part of... the great thing of music is like it can bring us back to times that we had that were good, bad. It's there for us when we need just that right song to kind of express what we're thinking or empathize with what we're feeling. I guess it means everything to me. I've kind of chose it as my life path, so.
You know, there was a time where I thought I wanted to be a writer, actually for many, many years, from the age of like 16, well into my 30s, I always thought that I would be a writer. And everything that I did or everything that I went through in my experiences, I always would, in my head, when I had thoughts, I would be like putting them into sentences and paragraphs. And if I was to write a book about this thing, this is what it would be like. Do you do that with experiences? Do you always have like a song in your head, and as you're going through something, are you saying to yourself, man, this would make a great song?
At times, definitely. And, you know, most of the time when I really think it's a great idea, I write a song about it. So, sometimes it pans out, sometimes it doesn't. But, definitely there's times. I mean, most of the stuff, for me, it's there's a little bit of me. I mean, I appear in all the songs, I guess, but most of it is fiction. So I'm constantly just, inventing characters and places and different things. So, I'm constantly writing, I guess.
That's pretty cool, because I think a lot of the musicians that I've interviewed in the past, they always tell me, they draw from experience, but you're always sort of inventing characters in your head. So you could be a writer too. You are a writer.
For me, it's like I already lived the stuff I've lived, so I'm not that interested in rehashing it or writing about it. It's like, it's not that much fun for me. So, yeah, most of it is like, and there are kind of, and some of it is certainly, and definitely, like I said, I drop in and out of the songs, I guess. And certainly all of my, like, experiences affect the song, and you could really analyze them and, I guess, you know, really break the songs apart, and they could be psychotherapy, I'm sure, at some point. But for the most part,
that's right.
There's kind of the two schools of, like, the really Dylan-esque thing where everything is really social and about you know, about specific things and really reality. And a lot of the singer-songwriters took that, where you had to, like, express your own ideas. And then there's kind of the David Bowie school of, like, well, I don't have to, like, I'm at liberty to make up stories, you know. And he created a rock star from Mars and took it to the extreme in his Ziggy Stardust character, where it's obviously all fiction, and he's singing as that lead character, but writing complete fiction.
Well, and but the fiction really touches people. I mean, like you said, it isn't fiction that is so far-fetched that people aren't necessarily, like, not be able to be touched by your words and the music. Otherwise, then there would be no connection with the public. You obviously make that connection. I mean, my brother had never heard you before, and he was like, that guy is good. And, of course, I'm sure guys like you go, of course I am. Well, somebody go, I never heard him before. He's really good.
Yeah, well, I mean, I certainly appreciate it. I kind of, you know, it's like one of those things now. It's like I've just been doing it so long. I guess at some point I would hope I'm good at my craft. You know, it's kind of like, I guess you have to be eventually, or yeah, I guess you kind of just fall into it. Even if you're not that good at it, if you keep at it long enough, I guess you're going to figure something out. But, yeah, I mean, and I'm not saying that. It's not like my songs are in that realm of, like, the, you know, I'm not creating characters from Mars or anything. But even, yeah, I'm just trying to think of specific songs on the record. You know, the first song, Too Far Gone, is a, you know, I was never on that boat, and, you know, it's really not about me. So, but I try to, I mean, that's it. Part of it is you're trying to connect to emotions and tell stories that people are going to relate to and connect to.
Tell me about Brand New Again. How did this CD become a reality? How long did you work on it, and what gave you the idea to name it Brand New Again?
Well, I think it was this is the first record I did really as a solo artist. And there's always this thing of when you're in a band that you're writing for different people. I've been in plenty of bands where I wasn't the lead singer, so I'm writing songs with other people in mind, and bands eventually always break up. They're really difficult. You know, a band like the Rolling Stones is certainly an exception to the rule, where it's tough. It's like being in a marriage with four people or three people or however many people are in the band, and the different dynamics and trying to keep things together. So every time that does fall apart, you have to really start over again. All the promotions start over. You get a new name. You're basically starting from scratch, and you typically write new songs and everything else. So I felt like it was time where, at this point, I'm Tracy Walton, and I really can't throw myself out of my own band. I guess I could, but I'm always going to be Tracy Walton, so I never have to really start over again in that way. I would imagine at some point I will just kind of reinvent myself again and do something completely different. But yeah, it just seemed like it was kind of time. I had a few of the tunes already written, and I just, you know, felt like I started to find, like, a style that I was really comfortable in, and so started writing songs around my voice and really that were going to sit well for what I do. And I started writing, I guess, in August of 2010, started writing the album, and probably finished writing probably in December, I guess. And then took me till I was probably finished with it in August. So it took about a year to finish and then a couple months to get, you know, CDs produced and all that kind of stuff and get it up on iTunes and actually release it.
Wow. So this is your first solo CD?
Yes.
That must feel like, wow, I've, you know, after having, like you said, all the music with other people, other bands, to have your own must feel like this is your baby? Does it feel like this is different than all the other stuff you ever did before?
A little bit. I mean, I was in a band called Black Lab Project where I did the singing and well, I guess I did all the writing. So it was kind of like, but it was a band. It wasn't really a solo project. But that was really kind of similar to this. So it's not kind of the first record in that way. But yeah, now that it is, has my name on it, it's definitely a different thing. And, you know, feels good certainly to get it out there. And it's a record, like I listened to it probably last week.
Uh-huh.
For the first time since probably, I mean, I guess I listened to it in September. For the last kind of listen to approve the masters and everything. And it still really holds up. Like, I actually like it, which is typically not the case.
So that's good. I'm glad you like your own music.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good thing. Well, I just don't usually like the recordings. I don't like to listen to, you know, I just hear stuff and I'm like, oh God, why did we do that? And
right.
Why didn't we add this guitar here? Why didn't we do this? And this record, like, I like it. There's nothing on there that makes me cringe, I guess, which is good.
You know, I totally understand what you're saying because I can do these shows, but I can't listen to myself because if I did, I probably wouldn't do radio. And I totally get you because we do tend to be a little bit more scrutinize our work, I guess, and we want perfection. And I actually had an artist once on the show, Brian Pizzoni, from a wonderful musician from California, who said that there was no such thing as perfection. Actually, when he teaches his students to, you know, it's okay when they're doing what they're doing if they mess up. And it was actually a great gift, I think, that he gave to me because I tend to be a perfectionist in everything that I do. I would like to play another song since I see that we have some people here listening, and I'm sure there's a lot more that do not go on the chat. You can go in the chat if you like. If you, friends, if you join Blog Talk Radio as a listener, then you can join the chat if you like, or you can just listen as you are. Or also through the telephone. I know a lot of times people are listening and they have to run and they have to do some whatever errands and they don't want to miss the show live. So if you want to go ahead and call the phone number, it is 347-843-4717 and you won't miss a thing. You can still listen in as you're driving or doing whatever you're doing. 347-843-4717. I loved every single song. This one, Brand New Again, was just beautiful. I have posted it on Facebook, and I know people enjoy listening to that one. They're all amazing. I really enjoyed the video. And I was really... you know, it's one of those videos that you just want to sit there and not just, because sometimes you listen to the YouTubes and you can walk away. You can just listen to the music. But this particular time, I actually just enjoyed watching the video. I couldn't walk away. What is it about the video that why did you choose to do it the way you did? It is very capturing. By the way, if you guys haven't seen it, you can go to YouTube and just search Tracy Walden Brand New Again, and you'll see it.
So you're asking me why we chose the...
Right. How did you come about doing the video the way that it was done? And, you know, being by the railroad tracks and...
Well, it was kind of, I mean, we were just kind of brainstorming for what the setting was going to be. And that's actually, that train station is, man, probably a mile and a half from my house. And I kind of just, you know, I actually had forgotten about it. And so I think someone brought it up. I think a friend of mine, Ian Campbell, who's another musician, said, why don't you, maybe the train station. And we went down, and you know, the colors were really good, everything looked good, and it kind of fit the theme, and we just kind of went for it. We, you know, we really didn't get any permission. We just went down and started shooting, and so it was good. And I guess, I think she was the manager or something. It was an older lady, and she had to be about 70 years old. And so she was kind of old school, and she came out, or she was actually coming down the tracks, and she came up and said, "Hey, what are you kids doing here? Because you're not breaking anything, right?" And I said, "Of course not." She said, "Okay, you're fine then." So it was like that kind of old school thing. As long as you weren't breaking and destroying things, like, you could do whatever you want as a kid. And that was her kind of deal. So, you know, we thought they were going to tell us to leave and the shoot was over. But she's like, "Yeah, go ahead." So, so it worked out great. We finished the video, and it just fit the vibe. It's actually, I forget what the movie is, but I don't know if it's Road to Perdition, I think, that Leonardo DiCaprio's in.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the one. Yeah, it's him and Tom Hanks.
I haven't seen it.
Road to Perdition. It's the same. They use that. It's just a small scene, but they use that same exact station.
Oh,
they came and shot that scene there. So,
how cool! That is very cool. Well, you guys, we'll hear it maybe at the end of the show. What song would you like our listeners to preview now out of your album? I'd like to give you that choice.
Oh wow!
They're all amazing.
I mentioned Too Far Gone. Maybe go with that one lyrically. I think it's just a really strong, lyrically, it's a strong song, and a little different vibe, so check it out.
Sounds good. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Anybody, stay put. Go ahead, Mr. Man.
As the town stood by, we boarded the boats and set sail for fame and fortune. Some shed a tear, some drank to the past. Some of us praying we'd never be back. Some took on water and never left port. Swam back to join the rewarded. As the stones were cast, they saw the last mass. They were too scared to try and too far gone. Some were quick to throw lines at the first hopeful signs, but their depths were a little distorted. While others still drift on an endless sea, wishing their anchors were just a bit longer. The unfortunate few who crashed on the rocks, their bodies would never recover. They thought they just stared at the breach and wished they were home. They were too scared to try and too far gone. But for a small few, manage the breaks, found that day of glory. With their struggles rewarded, they found roots to grow, lived out their side of the story I'm told. As the years went by, they took stock of their nets. Yes, they were full, happy, content, yet they still dreamt of home like a siren song. But they were too scared to try and too far gone. Too scared to try and too far gone. Too scared to try.
Very nice. It very and relaxing. I mean, a lot of as you. I'm trying to open up this mic here. As you listen to, you have your music is really mellow and, but not so mellow. You know, at Mr. Man, can you control that dog? I just had a crazy Lola just came dashing through here. Your music is how would you describe it? Rock. Mellow, what? How do you describe your craft?
It's kind of tough. I mean, I guess it's to me, it's kind of just Americana.
Uh-huh.
It's like a singer-songwriter Americana type thing. It's definitely, and there's kind of influences all over the place, from mm-hmm. rock to country to blues to just a little bit of jazz comes in there. Yeah, so it's kind of in all those genres, and I think throughout the album it's really different. I mean, there's songs on there like "Shake the Blues" that are really kind of a jump blues, and
yeah.
There's kind of straight ahead, almost Rolling Stones type rock tunes like "They Say You Can Never Go Home." That one's a little, I guess, "Too Far Gone" is a little more on the folk end of it. "Brand New Again" is a little bit more singer songwriter with a country edge. A song like 92 is pretty much a straight country tune. So, yeah, I guess it's kind of all over the place, which actually is I like. It's kind of intentional. I kind of, most of the records I really like, well, a lot of the records I like, I should say, are like that. If you listen to a Beatles record, it's really, it's diverse. It's not like kind of all one thing.
I love it. I like the variety. I just wanted to mention, Baby Jade has just told me that for some of the listeners who may not be aware, you might have to scroll down a little bit to see the chat. If you are registered with Block Talk Radio, you will see it. If you're not registered, some people sometimes, and it's very difficult for us to explain it exactly how to... Do you have anything on the website, Mr. Man? Okay, I was going to say to do it live would be kind of time consuming. But if you go to my website, www.ubanarama.com, there's an area where, do you know where it is, Mr. Man? It says something help? Okay, it says show help on there. Go ahead and take a look at that as you're listening to the show, and it'll tell you just exactly how to join as a listener. That way you can join the chat and you can have, if you have any questions you want to ask or anything that you want to add, you can go ahead and let us know. You know, I'm reading that here that you've had a lot of schooling when it comes to music. You're not just, you know, some people are self-taught. And that's wonderful. I think that we have seen in the years that we've been doing shows, musicians from all walks of life, musicians who have taught themselves, musicians who have been trained. And I don't think that you can ever necessarily tell the difference. I think if you like music and you enjoy playing music, some people have really shocked us, and we thought, wow, we thought this person would have had a ton of years of school, but it was not so. But with you, you have done a variety of things. Tell me about, it says here that you accepted a scholarship to study jazz, which is, you know, I'm going to throw everybody off because they're listening to a totally different a type of music, but you can play jazz as well.
Yeah, I mean, I studied string bass, actually, at the Hartford Conservatory with a guy, Dave Santoro. And I did a lot of, you know, touring as in just a jazz trio. So, yeah, I think the difference, and I was talking about this the other day with some guys, is that it's kind of the difference in the schooled guys is that and the guys that went to school and then went and made a living as like a player,
yeah,
is that you kind of just have to get really good at a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, a guy like Chuck Berry, say, bless his heart, he's really exceptional at playing Chuck Berry.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I would hire Chuck Berry to play like a jazz gig. I know I wouldn't. I probably wouldn't hire Keith Richards to do a lot of gigs other than really like be Keith Richards, which he's amazing at. And he became Keith Richards as a young kid, the performer Keith Richards.
Mm-hmm.
So when they were teenagers, he started playing the Rolling Stones. They made it. He's never really had to play anything but the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't blame him for not being able to play standards and be able to go on a reggae gig or go do a funk gig or go do all these other gigs, where when you've gone to school and you're trying to make it just as a player, you kind of have to pay the rent. I can't say, like, oh, no, I don't play that, you know?
Right.
Where that's kind of, I think that's really the big difference, is that guys are a little bit more versatile, but, you know, you take a band like the Sex Pistols, who could barely play the instruments at the time. They became really good at being the Sex Pistols and made a brilliant album. I wouldn't call them to play on my record. you know, that's not going to... those are guys. It's a different thing. Like I used a guy, Rich Hinman plays guitar on it, who's really a session guy. You know, we met years ago and have been friends forever, but he's, you know, he's out on the road with Ben Queller right now, and he plays with Roseanne Cash and, does a lot of different things that are really versatile. And not that everyone, again, he's not great at everything either, but he's good at a lot of things. It's hard to kind of stump him. And I guess that's kind of the difference to me.
What other instruments do you play?
Well, I mean, my main instrument really is bass, but I play acoustic guitar, and then I play some drums. I'm trying to think if there's anything on that record where I'm playing drums. Probably not, but I'm a functional drummer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, bass and acoustic guitar are kind of the instruments that I can actually play.
And did you ever have voice lessons, or is your voice is it what it is? I mean, is this untrained, trained? What is it?
Well, I mean, I didn't have. I took a couple of lessons over the years, I guess. But not really. It's just, kind of is what it is. And just as, I guess it's just practicing, you know, practicing singing it really is, it's an instrument. So it's not, there's a lot of all the instruments, the rhythm still transfers over and time transfers over and a sense of tone transfers over and phrasing. And so, it's just kind of figuring out how the instrument works, I guess. And that's the same thing where if I, you know, I theoretically could play a piano. Uh-huh. In my head I can, but I can't make my fingers do what I ask them to do, so I can't really play one because I've never sat down and practiced.
I know what you mean. In my head, I'm a ballerina.
Yeah. There you go.
And I do really good.
Yeah.
My toes and everything. Oh, I wish I could, Tracy. And your voice is really, the reason why I ask is because you really have a unique voice. For some reason, there were some moments when I'm listening to you, and I don't know why it brings me back to thinking of Elvis. And I know that you don't sing like Elvis, but for some reason, there's something about you that reminds me of Elvis. And now I know my brother is an Elvis freak.
Okay.
And he doesn't sound like. Do you know who he said? Do you remember what he said? What Phil said? But he said no. He doesn't remind me of Elvis. But for some reason you do. Is Elvis somebody that for some reason I don't know why I'm coming up with that. Do you like Elvis? I mean, do you listen to Elvis? Is he one of your favorite musicians? Or who do you listen to when you listen to music?
I kind of listen to a lot of people. I like Elvis. I've never gone through really an Elvis phase where I really like studied him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly like enjoy him and have listened to his stuff. Maybe it's the sideburns that give you the Elvis thing. Because I get that, and I don't think I sound, you know, that much like him, but I think the sideburns subliminally make me sound like him. The big one for me is the Beatles. I kind of think they did it all, and they're just so good at almost everything. Paul's one of my favorite bass players.
Mm-hmm.
Their melodies are amazing. They're great songwriters. Their lyrics are great. Their arrangements are great. They're kind of, when I started really studying songwriting, that was kind of the band that I just said, well, they're, to me, it sounds like they're the best at it. So I might as well just pick apart a bunch of their songs and see what makes them tick. And I think that's what, and they're another, I mean, there's an example. There's guys that have no schooling. I mean, they didn't know how to read music. They didn't know anything. And good Lord, they're, you know, I think they're the best ever. So,
right.
And that's, I guess, but the difference is with those guys, it seems like, you know, and they did in Germany, they played 6, 7, 8 hours a night. I can't think of the name of the club now, but, they did so much playing and studying so much music of other people that it kind of just, they found their way to, understanding theory without really just having a book knowledge of it. They understood what chords work together, and because their stuff is just really a well written and well structured.
Right. You know what I think it might be too is that Elvis had his own style, because like I said, it's not necessarily the voice, but there's something about style. And like the Beatles, they had their own style, and not too many people can copy. You know, I mean, with Elvis, yes, you have all the Elvis impersonators, but I'm saying a real artist probably wouldn't want to copy Elvis, I think it would just be difficult. Your music, I think, would be difficult because you have such a variety of music, the songs, the way you play them, whether you call it Americana or whatever. I mean, I can't pinpoint what it is. I think I hear, like you said, I do hear a little bit of rock in your music, but it's mellow, it's tranquil. It takes you to, I don't know, it takes me to a different place. And sometimes it takes me to places I don't even know if I've been there, but they feel like they were from a long time ago. And I think it's emotionally, because that's what music does for me. It either makes me happy, it peps me up, or not that it depresses me, but it just makes me think. I think that your music is one of those, it creates thought. It creates, what's in this one for me? Because I'm hearing something, and what's in my own memory bank that I can recall, because this is making me think about another time. I don't know if I'm explaining myself right. Do you know what I'm saying? Is this something that you do purposely, or you don't know that you're doing this?
I think I do. I think I know what you're saying, and I think I do it.
Are you?
I try to like. Yeah, I try to, like, I intentionally try to write where I'm evoking the senses, I guess, you know, and I think that's important to kind of, make people, where whether it's like, you know, seeing things and smelling things and hearing things and trying to make sure that it's not just a narrative, if I'm making sense. And there are some songs, like, I think, you know, on there, and I think sometimes it's given a first listen, it can be a disadvantage. I don't think it's like, some of it isn't, I don't think, until a third or fourth listen that you really start to digest some of those songs, which to me is great. I like music like that. But it's sometimes harder to hook people in where there are some songs, like a song like Shake the Blues that's on that, on the CD, is just really kind of a, you know, one listen, you got it. It's straightforward. There is nothing to think about, which can be good too. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's listen to that one. And see if they get it.
Okay.
One listen, that's it. You guys should get it. But there's others, and we'll be right back with them too. And you'll have to buy the CD if you want to take a second listen to the rest. So we'll be. By the way, they did tell us here. Baby Jade said the club was the Cavern where the Beatles played.
Well, that was the club in England.
Okay.
That was the club that they played. That's where. They were discovered in England, where they were playing all the time. I can't say there's a club in Germany that they got called over for that tour. It'll probably come to me at some point. But yeah, the Cavern's definitely. God, I can't think so.
Maybe Baby Jade can find it for us.
Yeah. The Cavern is where. Yeah, what's their manager's name? God, I'm spacing out.
Hey, that happens to me a lot.
Yeah, it happens to me all the time now. Wow, I just get, I'm bad. I can't remember anything. So
funny. Especially if you're trying to say something and the next sentence and the next sentence, you go flying too. It's like,
yeah.
What? But it'll come back. It'll come back to you, I'm sure. So it is the Cavern. That was, but you're talking, and the Cavern is what, in what country?
In England.
In England, and the
Brian
one...
Epstein, good, yeah. Brian Epstein was the manager.
Okay.
the Cavern was the club they played in England. That was the kind of the famous club where they kind of cut their teeth. But they also were called over for this tour in Germany, where famously they were, you know, they were hired to play kind of 8 hours a night, and when you play, I mean, at 8 hours a night, that's a lot, and especially back then. You got to think like. Most of those songs in that day were 2 minute, 2:30 pop tunes. That's a lot of songs in a 1 hour set. Yeah. Now you think about, you know, you're talking, God, you need 30 songs for a set, and now you're doing, you know, 7 hours. That's a couple hundred songs that you got to have in your repertoire. So learning that many covers, like, inherently you have to, like, start kind of really understanding how music is put together.
I can't imagine eight hours, you know, what that does to the vocal cords and the fingers.
Yeah, I'm sure they, yeah. They,
that's a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Baby Jade here says the club in Germany was the Star Club, and in Hamburg, I think, in Hamburg, Germany.
Yes, in Hamburg, yep, yeah. That's the one.
I love it when we get second brains. They help us so much. Well, let's listen to that song, and we'll be right back. And it's which one was it? Shake the Blues, right?
Shake the Blues. I remember that.
Yeah. Let's play that one. We'll be right back.
Got me a band, never drop a beat. Got me a band to help you move your feet. They're the greatest band out to the man. Sure you agree, won't you give them a hand? Got me a band, it might be all I need. Got me some fans that clap when I sing my song.
Makes me want to boogie, except for my back pain. I have to wait until I'm not picking up any more pop today or tonight or the rest of the week. You know, I want to know what came first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, your voice, your voice or playing the guitar?
Well, I guess, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what came first, I guess. I guess I sang it, like, as a kid, but I didn't sing in any of the school things. Music teacher, I don't think, liked me very much, so she wouldn't let me be in any of her groups.
Oh, no. For real?
Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah, she, as a guy, she made, you know, what's that song?
Oh.
The Rose, do you know that song?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, yeah. She made that was my audition piece, The Rose. It's a good choice for a guy, huh?
can you
I look back now, and obviously she didn't want me in the group. Like, she made me sing.
can we hear a little bit of it right
oh,
now?
Oh, God, I don't even remember how it goes now. I was so bad at it that I think I just repressed that in my inner child. Yeah, but that was so. I guess I just sang like as a sad child on my own. But other than that, I started playing guitar when I was a little kid. Maybe that's why I started playing.
we
scarred me.
Yeah, maybe Jake can maybe give us the lyrics.
Yeah.
Now that you said that you sang that, so I want to hear it.
Yeah. God, I still couldn't sing it. Like, yeah, there's no way. Maybe down an octave or something.
But okay, well, let's get back, because I know we're laughing and having fun, but for real, okay, tell me about this experience, because this is your chance to get some therapy here.
Okay. Yeah.
What happened?
With what?
With this teacher that wouldn't let you, what was it? What exactly happened? You said she made you sing, or this was the one song she said you had.
Well,
to
I wanted to sing in like the choir or whatever it was, you know, and she made me sing that, and obviously I couldn't because, yeah. So that was it. That was my one shot, you know. And she said, "Nope, sorry, you can't be in the group. Goodbye."
That's awful. I mean,
yeah,
laughing.
Yeah.
That is
terrible.
Awful.
I was crazy, you know?
Oh.
I think that was part of it. I was so excited about music that I just couldn't, like, I couldn't sit still, you know?
Yeah. And
like, most music classes as a kid, I had to sit in the hall.
Baby Dave is rolling his head.
Yeah.
That room is just rolling his head laughing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
she
used to every day, I'd just sit in the hall.
So I guess
I took up, you know, guitar first.
Wow. Well, maybe, you know, they did you a favor. But sometimes, you know, we go through experiences like that in schools, and I don't know. I always think that when people in power, no matter who they are, they should really be, I don't know, kind, especially with children. But
I mean,
that kind of breaks my heart. That story breaks my heart. If
you're
a little boy, I would to school and said a few things because, you know, the rose, give me a break. But, you know, I would think that you can almost sing anything. That's why I thought you could probably sing it, of course, you know. Why are you laughing?
Like it's just not a great range for a man. When I was a kid, so maybe I had a high enough voice. Maybe I just got it. I don't know. But either way, she didn't let me in the group, you know? So,
what song, do you remember, what song would you have wanted to sing when you were doing the audition? Did you have a song in mind that you wish you would have done instead?
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know. Oof.
Because I'm sure you left that experience going, I know if I would have sang this song, you know, I mean, I would have done that. You know what I'm saying? You would have said, you know, she was a jerk. You know, if I would have sang this song, I know I would have had it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't, I don't think I had anything. Like, I didn't have a repertoire back then or anything, you know. Like, it wasn't like I went in with, like, you know, saying like, hey, play this one in the key of A, or you know, I just said, hey, I want to sing, I want to be in the choir.
Yeah.
So and it was fine, it was all good, you know. I went and it sounds to me started my own band
that you had a good voice all along. I mean, I can just, because listening to you and hearing you say, I took voice lessons, by the way, which they didn't help. But I, when I was in college and I was in choir, when I practice, I can be very good. And not as a regular singer, but more as a soprano, you'd be surprised. And my son, I used to think that I would be good at singing music like a country western, but my kids have said, no, Mom, you could do more like Celine Dion. Something like you guys.
Like you should have sang The Rose. That would have been a good choice for you.
I can't sing a whole lot now.
Okay.
It's been years. But your voice, I mean, with me, it has to be more that I practice every day and that I sing the same. And we did have a wonderful director in school, so he knew exactly. I didn't even understand what I was doing, but this guy was amazing, bringing out the best in me. And it wasn't until after I was done with college that I realized that if I would have, you know, because I only took it because it was an elective and I needed it. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. After college, I went like, wow, that was, you know, it was one of those things that the experience was amazing. But for you, I hear that you've been good forever. It's almost like it's been there. Whatever these talents are, you had them, you polished them, but you've had them. Don't you think that your voice is something that, I mean, you mentioned you were singing when you were a kid, so this experience with the rose thing, that was just a weird thing. That was just odd.
Yeah, that she just didn't like me. But They, I think everyone, and I think you're born with whatever voice you're born with. And I think, good, bad, or indifferent, whether you like it or not, I have an interesting voice. So, and I think it's a rich tone, and it's an interesting tone that the instrument of my vocal cords makes. Does it make me the best, like, technical singer? You know, that's a different side of it, I guess. And I've talked about it with some people where, like, I know some people who are great singers who just don't have that great of a voice. If that makes sense, just the tone of their voice.
Right, right.
And I think that's something that's, I don't know if you can teach that. I think it's just, it's you can get it better. But to me, I equate it, like, if I pick up, my Fender Precision Bass, which is a 1974 vintage, amazing instrument, and then I pick up a $200 knockoff at a music store, I'm still going to sound like me. I'm still going to have all the facility that I have. I'm still going to have all the technique that I have on that instrument. But the tone isn't going to be as good.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So some people are just, their voices are a $200 instrument, and some have a $4,000. And I don't know. I don't know where I sit in that, but thankfully it's worth more than $200, I think.
Yeah.
Which is good. So,
be blessed. You have a wonderful voice, by the way. Just speaking, sometimes I speak to musicians, and when they're talking, you cannot tell that they are a musician. But with you, you have a very distinctive voice. It's beautiful and it's catchy. It's like, I'm sure when you talk in public or no matter where you are, people probably turn around, and it's worth more than $200.
Well, that's good.
A lot more.
I mean, like James Earl Jones would be like $4,000 though. You know?
Uh huh.
So I'm like $2,600 maybe. Somewhere in there. But, you know, that's a great example, though, honestly. Like, James Earl Jones, you can't, like, teach that. You know James Earl Jones, right?
No.
I'm sorry. James Earl Jones is...
I was looking at Mr. Man going, who is this person? And he's not even looking at me, and I'm going, I'm kicking him.
He's not telling you? What were some of... his famous roles.
Darth Vader?
Yeah, I was just thinking of that. I was trying to think of, was that like a rumor? Yeah, he has that voice.
Okay.
Yeah. You'd know him though. If you saw him, you'd know him. So now you've got to watch Road to Perdition.
I will.
And I keep thinking, I know he was like the villain in Conan. It's such a horrible, like movie that, like, yeah, go see Conan with Arnold Schwarzenegger, the great actor.
I listen to both.
But he was in that. So there's a good one. He was actually, what was that movie? It was a cute movie, Sandlot, where they're baseball players. He's Sandlot. I think that was Sandlot, where they keep hitting balls into this old guy's yard, and he's the old guy.
If you
can just YouTube everything. That's all. Anything you want to know in the world, just YouTube it or Facebook it.
Okay. Field of Dreams.
Was he? Oh, I think he was in Field of Dreams. I think he might have been.
Baby J just said.
There you go. Field of Dreams. Anyways, he just famously has a million-dollar voice, you know. The guy that did the 7-Up commercials, like, you can't teach that. Remember those old, 7-Up, that guy?
I love it. You have a very sexy voice, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm sure all the ladies are like, yeah, what is he talking about? Somebody else's voice. He's pretty cute. I'm thinking, I'm just like, oh, where's the fan, Mr. I'm going to get in trouble. Well, I think we should listen to a song because Kubanarama's all red.
Okay.
What should I play? What do you want to hear? What do you want?
Yeah, let me look. I'm actually going to look and see. I'm going to make a request of one of my own songs. Let's go They Say You Can Never Go Home. That's kind of like a little different feel.
Yeah.
A little rocker.
I love that one. Yes, that's a great pick. We'll be right back. This is Kubanarama and Tracy Walton's. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
When I was young, I wouldn't go as far as born to run. Yet I'd walk briskly towards the sun. Now I'm here on this stage with some local international fame. It's a brand new city, yet somehow the same. And they say you can never go home. Well, I wouldn't wanna be there again. Cause it never ends happy, and I've got new friends. Back to drums and
What a great song. You know what I love about summer, Mr. Man, is when I put my windows down and the sunroof open and I have all this great music playing and everybody in town, they look at me like, where the hell did she get this music? And I have to, you know, I've been thinking that we should get like some kind of a decal or something with www.cubanarama.com on for the car, because I know people love, you know, I can tell many musicians that come through Cubanarama, and they send me some of them send me their CDs like you did, and I bring them in the car. Sometimes I put it on the thumb drive, and I love it, and you can tell people want to know. So that would be a great way to let friends just people who are driving by. The other thing I want you guys to know, I am on Pinterest. Not to make an advertisement for Pinterest, but at first I thought, what the heck is Pinterest? It's P, the word P, and then the words interest. So it's Pinterest. I guess you can make boards. I didn't even know what it was. I had a friend that posted it. Actually, it wasn't a friend, not a close friend, of course. It was a housewife. From the show The Housewives in, I believe it's in New York City. And I saw she posted it. She's my friend. She doesn't know it. But I went on there and I found that it was easy to create an account. I actually was concerned in the beginning. I didn't want anything attached to my Facebook and things like that. So I wrote a lot of emails to the people at Pinterest. And one thing came, you know, push to shove, I decided I was going to do it, take the bite. And now I am going to put all of these, I believe I have Tracy's CD on there as well. I think I have a board for art and literature, art and something. I have to look. I have a few boards. But all of the CDs and all of the guests that come, and they have, if they have films or whatever, I'm just posting it on Pinterest because it's such a fun, you know, place to be. And it's not like Facebook at all. So I just suggest you go check it out. And if you like any of the musicians or anything, guess what? There, I think I might even be able to put people's websites on there. So what is your website for people who are listening and maybe they're downloading the show later on and they're going, but I want to get his stuff. Where do I get it? Where can they get your CD?
They can get the CD on iTunes. The website is, my website is TracyWaltonMusic.com. And the same thing for Facebook would be facebook.com/TracyWaltonMusic. So on the Facebook page, there's a, you know, a band page where they could hear some of the songs. I think there's some videos up there, and just kind of stay up to date with where I'm playing and different stuff. And there's kind of giveaways on that part of the site. But yeah, and then the website and certainly iTunes. You can get it on Amazon, CD Baby, a bunch of different places on the web.
So if you want to, find Tracy Walton, all you have to do is Google him, basically, right?
Yeah, that works too. Sure.
Yeah.
There is sometimes there's a I don't know what she does. She's either something with a C. She's either a chiropractor or a cancer specialist.
I could use somebody to work on my back.
Well, there you go. Call Tracy Walton. And if she's, she might be a chiropractor.
Okay. I think I saw something like that. So you want to make sure it's a musician. And
yeah. So Tracy Walton music kind of gets you to everything.
And so what part of the U.S. did you grow up in?
New England.
Wow.
I'm a New Englander.
Where is New England?
Where's New England? Where are you from?
For those folks who don't know. I know where I'm from.
Okay.
Mr. Man, quit bugging me. I grew up in New Jersey and
okay.
Minnesota now. I live
really?
In.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Nice. All right.
But New England is?
New England is the upper.
By New York, right?
Yeah, it's up in it's the upper east corner of the United States. If you were looking at a map, so you have Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts.
Baby Jade. Baby Jade, Marta, you kill me. Well, you know, Mr. Man is laughing because he was in the service, right? And
okay.
We're dating. And I just have to take a little 2 seconds and I'll tell you this short story.
Okay.
He was going to go, remember Iraq, the first war?
Yep.
Iraq. I was so upset. And you know when you get upset, you're a female, you get all, your mind gets all mumbo jumbo. Well, you're not a female.
Yeah, I don't know that. But yeah, I'll trust you. I'll take your word for it.
They were going to send him to Iraq.
Okay.
And I took a map of the United States, and I was crying, and I was mad, and I said, I don't even know where Iraq is. Show me. Okay, where are you going? Every time I say, well, where is this place? Or is that, he just... And I told him, I said, I know Iraq is not in the U.S. I was so upset, I couldn't think. I forgot to flip the never mind.
Yeah.
I knew it was up by New York. I knew it. I just didn't know exactly where. So New England, that's why I have... So people in Jersey and New York, do they play your music out there on the radio? They should. If they don't, they should.
I agree. I think they certainly should. Some of the stations have picked it up, yeah. Yep, so I get a lot of play in Connecticut and then the surrounding states.
What do you think about the internet radio movement now? I mean, isn't that fun? Because people, you know, here in Minnesota now, you know, people that listen to my show, they come from all over the world and the U.S., and we get a lot of people listening out of Chicago. Miami is really big. California, and because a lot of the artists come from just about all over, you know, including Canada and Germany, we have a lot of listeners. We've even been listened to in some parts of Asia. Latin America, for sure, they listen to us a lot. And Spain. Excuse me, is another one. So isn't that cool? But what do you think about the internet radio movement, and where do you see that going as to in comparison with terrestrial radio and how the, you know, how they pick up artists and promote them?
Because I haven't given that a lot of thought. I think it's a good thing. It's tough now with radio, just because it's so much of it is corporate, and it's tough to kind of get your foot in the door with the bigger radio stations. So certainly the internet stuff is nice, where you know, it opens that door again, and like you said, it is really worldwide. I mean, you can it's not like a place, you know, it's like a station where you have just the surrounding area that gets the broadcast. So, I think it's a great thing.
You know what I would like to see, though? I would like to see, like, I know here at Cubanorama, we play everything. There's very, very little music that we wouldn't play, and that's if it has a lot of cuss words in it, just because I know my listeners wouldn't appreciate it. And but we play just about everything. But what I would like to see happen with a lot of the internet stations is that they are as open as we are. Because I know a lot of my friends, they just only do jazz. One person just do jazz. I think we have a guy out of New York. I believe that's all he does. And that's okay. You know, that's okay when people enjoy a certain kind of music and that's all they play. But if I had friends, and if you're listening and you are a host, a radio host, I love sharing my guests. So if you are a radio host and you're listening and you enjoy the music and you love variety, you can email my guests anytime, or you can email me if you want me to put you in touch with my friends, and let's work together to get the music out there. It doesn't matter where you are in, because I know a lot of people from Italy, some DJs from Italy who are my friends on Facebook. And so if there's any music at any point, whether it is for a specific show that you're doing or whatever, just you know, email me. Just feel free. I think that that's what we should do, is work together more to expand, you know, the listenership. That's what I think.
Yeah, I like it. I vote with you.
Absolutely, I think it's important because I can play your music here, and we have thousands and thousands of downloads. By the way, people, I'm almost to 100,000 downloads on Cubanarama, and I said, and this is not bad because I think throughout the last couple of years we've been, I think we've been on the air for about 2.5. Well, it's going to be 3 years. Is it going to be 3 years, Mr. Mann? And for a long time, I had no idea what I was doing. I wasn't really advertising a whole lot. And we have a lot of ideas of how to promote the music and what to do. And certainly accounts like Pinterest and having the YouTube account, which I have to make more use of and really get out there and start filming and promoting the shows through YouTube as well. We're going to be doing a lot more, and I think the next year we're going to take the show to another level. But, you know, if you love what we're doing, go ahead and share it with your friends. If it's not the show that you love, but you love the artist, I don't care. Share the artist, because that's what it's all about. It's not, you know, I mean, yeah, you can share me too, but if you don't like Kumanarama, that's okay. You can go ahead and share Tracy. I want to move and pay attention to something that you are working with, which is tremendous for parents who have children who just got a license and, you know, they're getting out there driving. I know that's nerve-wracking for any parent. And, oh, my child is driving. I can't believe how fast they grew. You know, they were in kindergarten one day, and the next day they have their license. And let me see, Mr. Mann, where did you put the, okay, it was a drive? What do you call this? What is this?
Survive the Drive, is that what you're going after?
Yes, yes, yes.
I assume you are. Survive the Drive is an organization that does classes and presentations on safe driving for teens, and they focus on distracted driving, which would be texting and doing anything that distracts you while you're operating a motor vehicle. They heard a bunch of my songs, liked the songs. Originally, they approached me to write a song for their national campaign this year, which, you know, they're just trying to spread awareness. And as I was kind of sending them stuff, they heard the song Friend of Mine.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up just liking that, wanted to pick up that song as their kind of, as the song for their campaign. So in exchange for the rights for them to use that song, what they're doing is promoting that song, promoting the CD, and then putting me in a bunch of festivals and venues around the country to promote, to cross promote their cause while promoting my CD. A lot of the festivals now focus on nonprofit. They'll have like nonprofit villages and different parts of the festival where they can kind of set up a booth and do their thing while I'm playing and kind of help each other out. So that's the plan, and we're kicking that off. There's a launch party concert at a place called Infinity Hall. It's a really nice old theater in Norfolk, Connecticut. I think it's around 300 seats. But it's a nice old, I don't even know when it dates back to, but it's definitely 1800s where, but the acoustics are really good, and we're having a big concert to kind of kick that off.
That is so cool. It's so important. You know, I actually downloaded a little something on Minnesota Teen Crash, and I suggest that you do it for your own town. I'm just going to read a few of the statistics here, but before I do that, I want to know, where is Survive the Drive something that is that all, is that for all over the U.S.? I was looking at the website and I wasn't sure. Or is that only in the New England area, New York area?
They focus in that area right now, but they do go out farther than that. But that's kind of their home base is actually in Connecticut. So they do most of their stuff in New England.
Okay. Because I think, Mr. Mann, did you put that website up? That website for Survive the Drive is also on our website attached to this show. And you might check it out. Maybe there's a ways that, I know a lot of times when there's something going on in one state, it can spread to others, at least spread the awareness. Here in Minnesota, what I downloaded, it says that 41 teens died in traffic crashes. 12 were involved in alcohol-related crashes. And I think that this is a study that was done throughout a span of, I think it was like 15 years. It said that contributing factors to teenage crashes were speed was 24% point one, driver inattention, which you just mentioned, 14.3%. Driver inexperience was very high, I think, right below driver inattention, 13.6. A lot of times we think just because they got their licenses, and people don't realize that, if you see a younger person driving, I think a lot of people, older people, assume, oh, everybody's out there doing something wrong or everybody's out there speeding or whatever. I think of myself as a very good driver. I like to be polite, and I think it's been many, many years. I haven't used my horn in decades. The only time I ever use my horn is if I see somebody going to hit something or somebody is walking by not noticing, but I just don't use my horn unless it is to warn somebody of danger. I just think it's mean. Sometimes people cut in front of you. I just don't use it. I think it's just, I don't know, but that's just me. I like to be kind to people on the road. I don't like to go anywhere when I'm in a rush or a hurry. I don't like to cut in front of anybody. I think driving. I remember when I was growing up in Cuba, they had an ad on the radio that I'll never forget. I don't remember exactly what the ad said, but I remember the words. The DJ was saying that it is best to lose 1 minute in your life than your life in 1 minute. And that always stuck with me. So, even Mr. Mann, my kids, I've always lived by that. I think when you hear that as a child, you always think, what the heck? I don't care if I'm late to go somewhere because I don't want to die. You realize what the importance of, driving behind, being behind the vehicle. So is there a lot of, I assume there's, this is 24% here in Minnesota of these deaths. Do you know what the statistics are out there?
I know what the statistics, is that what you said?
Right, of the teenage crashes. I mean, you don't have to know them, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't. I wouldn't, okay. I wouldn't lie and make them up, so.
Right. No, that's all right.
I have no idea, but I mean, honestly, just driving around, you can see how many people are, on their phones and texting, and it's crazy. I was down, I played a tour down the East Coast in this through December and January, and Florida doesn't really have. Does Minnesota have a law against cell phones yet?
I don't think they do. I see people doing that all the time. Natty, she's in Germany saying hello. Hey Natty. I don't think so, but I always drive. I'm usually not in the car by myself, so I'm either with my daughter or my husband. And if I'm ever behind the wheel and I need to make a phone call, I always tell my daughter, "Can you call so and so?" I've never had a problem, but I just this I think the summer that my son got his license, there was he was in high school, and there was a young girl that lost her life a few blocks away from my house, and my son knew her. I never saw her. I don't remember ever seeing her face on his school book. I wanted to, but he never showed it to me. You know, it just got busy. But it was another student that killed her, and they were driving in opposite positions, but it was a windy road. And the boy went to pick up something he dropped. I don't know if he dropped a CD or he dropped something in his vehicle. And when he went down, I don't think that speed was necessarily a factor. I don't think you could speed very much throughout this one road because there's, you know, there's like a lake to one side and businesses to the other. But he killed her, and she was not wearing a seatbelt. So there were two things. The girl was not wearing a seatbelt, which is the state law, and the boy just took his eyes off the road for a moment, and this young girl lost her life. So every time I would drive in this area, you know, and I would see the flowers, I just felt this sadness. And, you know, I always pray when I know my son. When I see younger people driving, I always pray for them. I pray that, you know, that they don't engage in, you know, but there's sometimes bullying and situations like that too, where kids like to get ahead of each other or screaming things at each other. And, you know, it's dangerous. It's, I don't think they realize until you see photographs of the damage that can be done and the lives that can be, you know, destroyed just in a moment. It's just a moment. So I commend you for doing what you're doing to help survive the drive. So when is the event again? You said it was.
It's April 4th.
April 4th. Oh, that's coming up.
Yeah. It's So it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah. Good thing you reminded me. So it'll be Wednesday night at 7:00.
I was up there.
Yeah.
I would
What's
go.
That?
I said I wish I was up there. I would go.
Yeah. I wish you were here. It would be fun. Yeah. It's like Connecticut. It's against the law to talk on a cell phone.
Yeah.
So I mean, and people still do, but it's against. It's you know. It's illegal, and you get a ticket for it. New York is, but like I was saying, when I was down in Florida, it's not against the law, and it's just crazy. Like, everyone's on a cell phone talking and texting. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, people are, it's hard. Like, no one's eyes are on the road, and, like, it's scary just to drive around down there to see everyone, you know, talking. And
right.
You know, so that's a big part of it is you know, especially with you know, and anyone, it's hard. But now you get a kid who doesn't have a lot of experience behind the wheel, and they start, you know. And, you know, I think kids are on the phone more anyways.
Yes.
So that's definitely a big part of it. But they do, I mean, a lot of it is just they're educating. This program educates a lot just on the physics of it, that, you know, when you take a 2,000-pound or 4,000, whatever-pound vehicle and hit a tree, things go horribly wrong.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, it's kind of like just trying to get that across. And not in a scared straight kind of method, but just more of kind of the physics behind it and, you know, getting the message out there.
I know that when you're young, you think that you're going to live forever. You can't imagine dying. And I know because I was a kid once. And all of us, every single person that I know, sometimes we sit around and talk about the silly things we used to do. And we say, man, I don't know how we lived it. I don't know how we survived, you know, being young. Because you just, you know, jump in places you shouldn't be jumping.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't break legs, or some of us did, but I never broke anything. I was always the one kid that, you know, I was so safe that I would see others coming to school with their cast, and everybody would sign it. And I always wanted that attention. I always thought, can I break something to get attention? But it's not fun. So, and definitely not when it comes to texting. I don't know how kids do it. I'm horrible at texting, even when I'm just standing in one place or sitting in one place. I don't know how they do the driving and the texting at the same time. And so you know that they have to have their eyes off for enough time to put those letters in and then to send it and to read. And that is super, super scary.
Yeah.
And there's semis on the road. There's all kinds of things on the road and the damage that can be done. I was reading the millions and millions of dollars. I don't have that here. Mr. Mann didn't get it. But I would suggest that you look in your own state and figure out what those percentages are and, help out if it isn't with this particular event, that there's maybe something in your own town that you can help with. It's definitely something to look into. It saves lives and it saves the children, especially because they're not experienced. Even when you are an experienced driver, it is totally it's scary. So the song that you have assigned for. I'm trying to find it.
Survive the Drive?
Yes. It's a friend of mine.
Friend of mine, yeah.
And tell me about this song.
Well, it's the last song on the record. And it's actually one I originally wrote it a little bit more up, and I wrote it on guitar. And it just wasn't really, it just wasn't feeling right. I wasn't even going to put it on the CD. And we were kind of in the studio, and there was a piano there, and we were laying down some piano parts. The piano player, Steve Rossiter, who owns Axis Studios in New York, he's also a piano player, so when we do mix downs, and he does a lot of the overdubs for the keyboard stuff. And we were done tracking all the other songs. We had a couple other songs that kind of got cut in the end. And I kind of had this song, just the chart. And I said, you know what, play it on piano. Let's just see what happens. And, we did a take of it, and I loved it. So I think we ended up doing one more take, and that was the second take of the song. Sounded great, and it was kind of an older piano, a little like... close to being out of tune, but sounding really cool because of it. Like, it's a little bit more character than anything, I guess. Mm-hmm. And we ended up putting an instrument called a harmonium on it, which is like kind of like a cross between a keyboard and an accordion. It's like a little miniature keyboard, or a little miniature piano, I should say, where the back of this little miniature piano has... I just can't think what that's called. the air thing.
I love it. I talk like that all the time.
Yeah, I just can't. It's sad. I used to be really sharp at one point. I just lost it completely. But anyways, if I could had a command of the language, I would tell you more about this instrument. But considering I don't, that'll be the end of the story.
Baby Jane, second brain. call the second brain.
Yeah. Oh man.
Okay, so explain it to me again. You said there's something about this song that it's not perfect, which is what makes it beautiful, right?
Well, I don't know if that's it is kind of, the piano worked nice for it, I think, because it had a little bit of character. It had some imperfections to the piano.
The
harmonium's not really an exact instrument, and it's kind of this song about embracing the imperfections of life and kind of embracing that, and it's really a couple in the scene where the first part, one of the partners says to the other, then when you say you want to be young, I tell you there's nothing wrong with just being beautiful, where the one is starting to, the one hasn't come to grips with the fact yet that, like, okay, I'm just getting old and
uh-huh.
I don't look, you know, I may not look in the mirror and have a six pack or have, like.
Did we lose them?
Like, that's actually what makes you beautiful. So the song's kind of like just an exploration of that. Yeah, I guess that's, if I did it right, I explored that theme and,
okay.
You know,
lost you for like a second, right where, when you were saying, towards the end, you were saying something. And for some reason, I thought that the call had dropped because we lost
okay.
completely. So you, I'm going to make you say it again.
Okay. Remember, I don't have any memory. I don't even remember what we were talking about. So, but no, go ahead. I'll try. Where did I cut off?
I know. I was trying to figure it out too because it freaked out. It's not, okay. So you were talking about the imperfection. It was something about when the one friend said to the other something about, I'm not beautiful anymore because I'm not young. And the other one said,
yeah, the opening line of the song. It's a couple. They're not. They're. Yeah. They're. Okay. I think it's a couple. it's. And it's okay if it's not. I guess that's part of it. Like, I'm not so set about what things are. In my songs, you know, it's not that. You know, once I put it out there, it's not for me to say that I'm right and you're wrong if you interpret the song different than I interpret it. So, in other words, I think it's a couple, but I might be wrong. It might not be a couple. But so, anyways, in my mind, I wrote the song as they were a couple, and the one turns to the other and says, you know, when you say you want to be young.
Uh huh.
I told you there's nothing wrong with just being beautiful. And that's kind of the theme of it, where the one partner is kind of not coming to grips with the fact that, okay, maybe I'm, and I don't know, and that's it. I don't really set,
well,
I guess I have something in my mind of who they are or what. I guess I don't see what they look like or even what age they are, but they're getting older and, they're not. They don't have perfect skin anymore, and they don't have, six pack abs or whatever it might be. But that's the other partner's saying, though. That's kind of what makes you beautiful.
Well, that is kind of it is. Let's hear the song because now I want to hear it again. I've listened to it.
See it, yeah.
And all your music is great. You guys got to get the CD. Go for it. Get the CD. TracyWaltonMusic.com. Go ahead, play it, Mr. Man. Right now.
When you said you want to be young, I told you there's nothing wrong. Just being beautiful. Sit with me, there's no need to run. That race is long since won. Bow your heads for the funeral. Thank you.
your hands you don't have to show. So as we sit as passers by, I'll smoke a clove, you'll drink your wine. Raise a glass to the ones who know.
Beautiful. And I love the fact that Mr. Man on the break said, this is a funny show. And I said, you know, that's what I love about the show. It isn't perfect, just like, you know, like Tracy said about the song. I thought it was perfect. Sometimes there is beauty in imperfection, and I don't see it. And I think that's exactly what that other musician, Brian Pizzoni from California, was saying, that it doesn't, everything doesn't have to be perfect. Sometimes when things are so perfect, they're not so beautiful because it's just too much. It's too, you know, like a perfect home, you can't put your feet up, you know. So I guess something like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess I learned like a while back, and I forget who. I guess, I don't know, maybe I just learned it by myself. But I think the biggest thing as a songwriter and as a musician is just kind of the test of it is it believable?
Right.
And it really doesn't have to do with it. Like, and part of it is, and I think that's where some of it's gotten lost lately, because we have these computers that can edit things to be perfect. And we play to a click track now, where it's like everything is in perfect time. And everything is auto-tuned, where it's all the notes are perfect. But what happens is you kind of, because of that, being able to do that, people forget at times to listen for, like, the magic. Mm-hmm. And, like, is it believable? Do you hear that and say, like, yeah, wow, like, I completely believe what that person is singing and trying to say. So that's really it. That's kind of how I record, is just listen and say, okay, like, do I completely believe every word I just sang? And when I do, that's the take. And I don't so much worry about, is it perfectly sung? Is every note, like, note perfect? And that's kind of it, you know. And part of it was it dawned on me, like, listening to, like, as a bass player, what are some of the songs that it comes up in? Like Soul Man, you know the song Soul Man?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay. The if you listen to the first, next time you hear that song, listen close, and on the first verse, on the first chorus, the bass player continues to play the bass line for the verse. So the bass line is boop ba da ba da boop boop da ba do da ga ga da do do da. That's kind of that famous bass line to that song, right?
Yeah,
maybe not, maybe. Okay, but anyways, if you hear the very first bass line, that's the bass line to the verse. When it's coming to you on a dusty road, when it goes to the chorus, he plays doo 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 doo. He just plays straight eighth notes. You'll hear, if you listen close, that when he switches to the chorus, he messes up and keeps playing the verse for the first measure, for the first four beats. And you can hear he quickly says, like, oops, that's not the right part, and he switches to the chorus.
Interesting. I posted that song the other day, and I, of course, I didn't know this, so, but now I'm going to listen for it.
Listen real close. You'll hear it. Like, but it's, but that's the thing. Like, you don't hear it because the tune is so killing and so believable. It's
yes.
such a magic take, and they were smart enough to say, like, you know what? Who cares that Duck Dunn played a wrong note in the bass line?
Wow.
Where today it would have been a different deal. It would have been like, and it probably would have just been like, oh, okay, it's close enough and we'll fix it. So everything's like kind of fix it in the mix now where, you know, we'll kind of patch this song together. And even the last, this record, when I went in to mix it, I brought it in and I recorded it using, you know, Pro Tools software, which is on, you know, the computer, and I brought an external hard drive that you can now bring somewhere else and mix, if that makes any sense to you.
Some of it does.
Okay, so, you know, you basically, you can record in one place and then go take the session and bring it somewhere else and actually do the mixing and the editing. So when I went to the Studio Axis in New York, we plugged in the hard drive, and he said, well, where is everything? I said, well, I hope it's there because I just drove a couple hours, and that's all I have with me. So if I don't have everything, we can't work today.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, it can't be everything. There's only, like, whatever gigabytes or kilobytes or whatever those things are. I said, I'm pretty sure it's all there. She said, well, let's open it up and see what we have because, you know, we'll see what it is. So he opened it, and he said, well, He said, there's 10 songs here, but there's only one take of every song. And I said, well, we're only going to put one version of every song on the CD. I'm not going to put two. He said, well, like, typically people have like 20, 30 takes of each song, and then we build a song. I said, well, I just hire guys that can play their instruments, and then we play the song through, and when it sounds right, we stop, and that's the song.
Yeah.
So, and if it doesn't sound good, we erase it. So there's only one take of everything. So it's kind of a different way of recording where, and that's the people are starting to kind of go back to saying like, well, yeah, all the good sounding records, you know, Otis Redding wasn't doing like punch-ins and like, you know, It was a band in one room with a couple of mics, and those records sound amazing because the feel is there. It's believable, and Otis makes you feel like, oh, my God, like he means every word he says. So that's kind of, you know, what I go for with those songs. And, yeah, there's, you know, I guess back to Friend of Mine, it's there is that little bit of I guess it's not, you know, it's just it's the character. I like the character of the song for that.
It's absolutely beautiful. The whole CD is great, and I think if you don't have it in your collection, it's certainly worth having. One of the things that I love about doing this radio show is that I get to know, and you all get to know, the artists for who they really are. I mean, if you were out there and just went to get the CD, you would never know that Tracy Walton is funny, that he is forgetful, and he's a thoughtful kind of a guy. There's a lot up there that even though he says the music isn't all about his own experiences, but that he likes to what's the word, Mr. Man? Mr. Man can't think of the word. Where's my second brain? My second brain left too. you know, make up stories that are believable. Is that what you just told me?
that's what I try to do. that's
they are. I mean, if these stories are As you said, but I think you certainly draw from, like you said, experience and maybe other people's experiences. And even though the characters are made up and maybe the line story is made up, it's certainly things that we can dwell on and just enjoy listening to. I did enjoy it. Today was a beautiful Sunday in Minneapolis. We had sun and breeze, and it was just one of those beautiful spring days, you know, that that is hard to replicate. What was it like out there in New England today? What kind of weather did you guys have?
Horrible. It was cold and rainy.
Oh, for real? It was.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it was very New England-y. Yeah, well, and in the end, it's like New England-y is means that it's anything, you know. I forget. I think it may have been, I mean, it was probably Mark Twain because he said everything else, where if you don't like the weather in New England, just wait a minute.
Just
wait. Because that's basically it. Yeah, just wait. I mean, I forget what he said. Just wait, wait an hour or whatever. Wait a minute. Like it was last week. It was 80, and now it's 30, and tomorrow will probably be 70 again, and then we'll have 4 feet of snow.
It sounds like Minnesota. We have crazy weather here all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Baby Jade is wondering what I was laughing at. Mr. Man, you know, I ask him to join in a lot of times. He has his microphone and he has everything. I forget. Tracy's rubbing off on me.
Yeah, see? It is. It's contagious. I didn't even know. I just kind of ignored it because I didn't even know if there was an actual Mr. Man or you just like, if that was a shtick, your thing. Like, I just didn't want to call you out on it.
Well, yes, we do have a Mr. I call him Mr. Man because it's better, you know, if you work with your mate and you feel like insulting them, you can't do it on the radio. So one day I think I just called him Mr. Man because it was better.
Yeah, isn't that what Kathy Bates called James Caan in
oh my god.
See, now I can't remember anything anymore. It's horrible. what's that? I mean, it's a book too. I shouldn't say it's just a movie, but
is it the one she broke his legs?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Something, it's the name of the character in the book she writes.
Remember?
People are listening like, God, this is horrible. They just can't remember anything.
Oh, my God. We're going
Something with a D. No, not destiny or not deliverance. That's a different one.
But you look it
misery.
Up.
There we go. Misery. Good.
Okay.
Yes, misery. She calls him Mr. Man in Misery, and then she puts a but. So tell Mr. Man to be cautious, because that was the first step of James Caan starting to think this may be going horribly wrong.
Thanks a lot, Tracy.
See, that's what she says. Listen, Mr. Man.
My husband is still walking.
I'm just saying, you should be careful.
Oh, my God, he's funny. But, no, that's exactly. There is a Mr. Man here. But I used to harass him a lot that I was going to fire him, but I don't do it anymore.
Gotcha, okay.
Mr. Man. But, he does have his mic and everything, and he can talk, but he refuses to talk. Maybe I should get a hammer. I might just take your advice. No.
Yeah. No, that's his shtick, you know? It's almost like Penn and Teller.
Exactly. Don't forget the tickets. They're telling me here. Oh, my God. Oh, my Mr. Man. Baby J says, I'm so glad that you were on the chat here and helping us.
Yeah, because we're a mess.
Yeah. Mr. Manny, his brain, he left his brain too. Normally, he's my second brain. April 4th, Don't forget, this is where to get the tickets. It says to request Tracy Walton's tickets, Brand New Again, or Tracy Walton's Brand New Again CD, the MP3 and interviews. Please contact Lori. Is that the correct information, Lori?
For to get tickets for April 4th?
Right.
Is that what you're saying? No, that you just go to infinityhall.com.
Okay. That one is okay. So go to www.infinityhall.com. And then if somebody wants your CD, the MP3s, or interviews, who do they contact?
You can contact Tracy Walton Music at Gmail.
Okay. Because I have something here, it's media at saveteens.org. I think I have the wrong information. Mr. Mann just handed me something. But okay, so I'm not going to go with what's on this paper.
Oh, yeah, wait. Don't worry about that.
Mr. Mann, I'm going to break your leg.
Yeah, see, it's a telltale sign.
It's coming back.
Yeah.
I realize where are you getting this information?
What's that?
He says, oh, also say, oh, of course, also say Germany is listening. Yes. I want to say thank you a lot. Germany is 3:40 or something like that in the morning, and she's listening. Yes, she's up.
Nice. She would have known the answer to our Beatles question.
she was just in New York.
Ask again, because I already forgot the name of it. No, it's fine. I'm fine. Star something.
You would have known the answer, but I don't even remember the question. What was the question? Oh, wait a second. You mean,
what Hamburg club did the Beatles play at?
Yeah, what Hamburg
club? See if she knows her German history.
Do you know, Miss Natty, do you know what Hamburg club the Beatles played at when they were together? We'll see if she posted on there. She's getting ready for work. I think she just posted 4. It is 4:56 a.m.
Wow.
In Germany. So, whenever we have great musicians, she always pops in. And she was just in New York City, by the way. And you missed going to New England. The next time you're going to have to visit New England and see Tracy. So if people can, if they want to hire you to do a concert, to do anything, who do they contact again?
They can contact just through the website, TracyWaltonMusic.com. There's a contact there, or then get TracyWaltonMusic@gmail. .com or not .com. That's just an email. So TracyWaltonMusic@gmail.
You guys, all you have to do is go to the website, or you can shoot me an email here at Cubanarama. Whatever information we gave you that was not correct, it will be fixed. We will get it right. People know they can contact me anytime. And there's also a phone number on my website. You can use that phone number. I'll get those messages, too. So we'll definitely... We have 90 seconds, but it'll run over a little bit. Go ahead and go to www.TracyWaltonMusic.com, and all the information should be there.
That's where you can get to. You can contact me. You can get to the Facebook page through there. The YouTube site where I have a channel with all the videos is there. You can. There's a link to iTunes. There's everything.
Absolutely. So whatever you need, you'll find. If you need anything else, just contact me here at Cubanarama.com or on Facebook. You'll find me all over Facebook. And we'll get you in touch with Tracy. Thank you so much, Tracy. What song do you want to hear on the way out?
Maybe do Never Be the Same. That's like kind of a closing song.
That's a great
song. Things will never be the same.
Absolutely. They'll never be the same for me, because it was great meeting you. I loved having you on the show. Thank you so much. And
thank you for having me. And you said next year you're going to be in different heights, so... Maybe you should have me back on when you get there.
Well, I will, sir. Anytime you want to come by Cubanarama, you're welcome to. Anytime.
Okay.
Absolutely. We're friends on Facebook. I'll see you.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much, Tracy Walton. We love you for being on the show. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a wonderful evening, everybody. And go to the website. We have lots of stuff coming up. And something with Gail St. John this Thursday. More missing people, missing in America. We will have something will be up on the website really soon. Thank you again, Tracy. Love you for being on the show.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you. Stay safe, Mr. Man. Be careful.
He loves.
One more while the band's outside.